This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I have to say, when we're listening to the Holy Scripture, and they're so good this morning, but there are times when, right, it really makes us to take pause as we hear. And I will say the one this morning was, I will give the priests their fill of fatness. Now, I will say that kind of goes against my New Year's resolutions, as they say, but thanks be to God, right? But there was this joke about, we hear about the three wise men, but there's this other joke that goes about three wiser women that you may have heard. It's actually a great little cartoon. And it's after the three wise men left, it says, the three wiser women arrived with fresh diapers, some casseroles, and food for the child. So today we encounter that thing called the Christmas star. Right? You may have heard it, the Bethlehem star, the Christmas star. And a couple of years ago, in April of 2022, we had a glimpse of the star. Some of you may have remembered or been paying attention. Astrologers would say that this might have been what the Magi, the wise men, witnessed in the sky. That this phenomenon, this astrological phenomenon, was what inspired them to make this journey to meet the Christ child, Jesus. And what it was, there are several different theories on what it was, but the one that we witnessed was the conjunction of Jupiter, Regulus, which is a big star. I learned a lot about stars with this. Regulus, which is another big star, and Venus. And the reason that this one seems like a plausible event is the Royal Museums in Greenwich, so I didn't make this up, the Royal Museums in Greenwich in England explains that this theory, that it's a conjunction of Jupiter, Regulus, and Venus, has some mythology behind it. It's an actual event that happens, but the reason they think that this might have been what inspired those wise people to come is because, you see, the word for Jupiter in Hebrew is tzedek, which is often translated as righteousness. And Jupiter itself is often reviewed as the king of the planets. So you have Jupiter. And then Regulus, this bright star that's a part of another constellation, is Latin for prince or little king. And then Venus, well, Venus is often viewed as a symbol of love, fertility, and birth. And so as such, the combination of these objects so close in the sky that would have looked like one star may have led to the interpretation of the birth of the King of Kings. Now, these wise men from the East are front and center here at the Christmas season concludes. Next Sunday, we won't have the Christmas tree. We won't have the Advent wreath. But they are unnamed. We don't actually know how many there were. They were guided by stars and surrounded in mystery. You see, they weren't necessarily royalty, although we've sort of attributed, if you notice in the gospel it says wise men, we've attributed sort of this idea of kings of some sort of authority and power, but they weren't necessarily royalty, but they were considered leaders. Leaders and those considered wise in the ways of the world. In fact, the word that we often use, the magi or magoi, I think that's how you say it, is translated as wise persons. They could have been astrologers or even magicians. But they were certainly persons capable of interpreting stars, and we hear at the end of the gospel today, interpreting stars as well as dreams. But they understood that this arrival of the Christ, the Messiah, was a seismic event. And what told them that this was a seismic event was what was happening in nature. And they brought these unique gifts and insights understanding that what they were about to do, what had happened, had far-reaching implications. Now, they might have underestimated the far-reaching implications. See, knowing that they're from the East, and at that time, as you entered into the Roman Empire, it was considered the West. And in some ancient societies, and probably not unlike today, birth brought the potential for political revolution. Now, in a more contemporary world, we would call those elections, right? But in the ancient world, in ancient societies, many times it was about the birth of a particular person that would cause a political revolution. And this is what frightened King Herod. That these wise people had trekked the desert to come looking for the birth of the king of the Jews. Now, Herod was frightened because right away he says, what does this mean about me and my leadership and my kingship and my territory? And not only was Herod frightened, but we also hear that all of Jerusalem was also frightened. The insiders, you see, were afraid. But it was those outsiders, those that were considered outsiders, that asked the questions. See, they were curious. The outsiders were the ones that were asking, who is this person? This person that has been born, we've heard about him. Tell us where he is so that we might go and see. And of course, I'm sure one of the questions they were asking is, how can this child born into a unremarkable family, become known to the world as God's Messiah? Now, mind you, these, again, are outsiders, not religious people, but so curious about what God was doing in the world. And the techniques they used, right, to read the natural world for evidence of God's intentions. And it does work. The natural world brings them remarkably close to Jesus, but don't forget, they still had to ask for directions. But they got real close. And their hunches would have come from unorthodox means, right? They would have not been exposed. While they knew of world religions, they not necessarily would have been exposed. They would not necessarily have been anticipating this event, but they knew something had happened. And yet, even though they hadn't been brought up in understanding what it meant, they came to uncover truth. Now, let's revisit this whole scenario for a moment, this whole story. There's a relatively ordinary, unexceptional family in a backwoods small town where shepherds and barn animals were the first to witness, and outsiders, foreigners, were the first to pay homage. This, my friends, is how God chose to enter the world with us. You see, there is no one else in the gospel that resembles the Magi, the three wise men. And what it suggests is that God finds a way to attract others. Or rather, even maybe, that others discover ways to find God. The strangers in this story are curious. And they're obedient, but they're not obedient to the laws of the land that the people of Jerusalem would have understood. After all, they were considered probably diviners, which was illegal in the Old Testament laws. But they were obedient to what nature was calling them to. They were curious. More than anything else, they were curious. You see, what we can glean from this, these visitors, these foreigners, is that God does not need our certainty. They did not know what they would discover. They did not know where they would find this child. They knew that there was something important. God does not need our certainty. God only asks for our continued curiosity. God does not need our certainty. God only asks for our continued curiosity. They were curious, and they went to go and see. Real spiritual seekers. They only know about Jesus from what has been revealed to them in nature, in their work. So I ask today, what is God inviting you to go and see? What is God inviting you to come and see? Now, this theme, come and see, is going to be our theme for the next several weeks. Come and see. Because the truth is, not unlike these wise men making a trek from the east to the west, not exactly sure what they're going to find, but knowing that whatever it is worth the trip. The truth is that the glory of God that is revealed in this person we understand as Jesus Christ has a magnetic quality. And it will attract, potentially, all people. You see, the season we understand as Epiphany, it's a season of revelation, like a light bulb coming on. And it's a time to recognize that in Jesus, God's plans continue. Now, what we don't know if that when the wise men, if they were changed inside after they met Jesus. We do know they offered him homage. We do know they gave him gifts that would have meant a great deal to the people of those days. And we do know that they went home by another road. And we don't know what happened to them when they got there, but we do know they went home by another road. You see, because it's not only the world that Jesus came to change, but it's also our lives and the choices we make. And the interesting thing is that from this story that we understand, we call overall the nativity story that includes the visit of the wise men, it means everyone is invited to the party. Everyone, even those who have been traveling radically different paths. Even those who have been traveling radically different paths on their search for their true home. We all are spiritual seekers, searching for our true home. Even those who have been baptized travel a path that goes in many different directions. And everyone here has their own story of the path that brought them here today. So a question for the season of revelations, of epiphanies. Someone presented it well and said, are epiphanies a thing of the past, like once upon a time? Or are they still happening right now? How has the light of Christ appeared in your life? By what light have you seen and experienced God? Maybe it was in a community. Maybe it's in nature. Maybe it's through relationship. Or maybe it's just something that you know deep inside. So the story of the wise men, it doesn't declare the official end of Christmas, right? Even though we will take down the Christmas decorations, we will change into a different season. But they point us forward. They point us forward and to see the way that Jesus will have many different impacts upon all of human societies. Eventually, it will point us forward, as we'll hear in the weeks to come. It will point us forward to see how Jesus coming to us makes people incredibly curious. They start to question what's important in their life. Herod was still stuck on what was important to him, and that was power. But the three wise men, they even come and they say, wait a minute, is that really what's most important? We're really curious about this person, Jesus. All we have to do, my friends, is remain curious. And God will continue to reveal God's self to us every day. Now, I realize not everybody might be a big nature fan. We live in a beautiful place where we are surrounded by the opportunity to witness the miracles of nature. I feel like as I get older, I appreciate nature more and more. I actually have started identifying birds in my backyard. I know I'm just a meme. But I came across this wonderful quote the other day. And it's from a woman named Ingrid Goff Madoff. I'm not super familiar with her work, but this quote keeps speaking to me. And we think about the Magi as they were just going about their regular business and something spoke to them and called them. And she says, God spoke today in the flowers. And I, who was waiting on words, almost missed the conversation. There's a spiritual hunger, my friends, in this world. And all we are asked to do is stay curious. All we are asked to do is pay attention to the signs around us. And we are asked to invite others to come and see. Amen.